The Lord bless you, heart dwellers. It's September 25th, 2015. And forgive me for not being with you yesterday, but I was really exhausted and having problems with that dental work that was done and just was not able to function normally. But I'm back tonight, and I thank you, sincerely thank you for all your prayers. They definitely have helped. Tonight the Lord brought up forgiveness, forgiving ourselves. And he began by saying, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." And then he continued and he said, "In these days my people are stressing way too much about their sins. Their sins have become like mountains of condemnation, and few among you believe that I've truly forgiven you." You know, I've noticed that on our channel, guys. There have been quite a few people who have said, "I think I'm condemned, I'm going to hell, the Lord's not going to take me in the rapture." And you're not living in sin, but you just have this vague sense of being condemned. Well, I think tonight the Lord's going to clear up where that's coming from. So this is super basic to our walk. We know that the Lord died for us on the cross and he paid the price. And if you're contrite, if you're sorry for your sins and you turn and repent, you don't have to worry about being left behind or condemned. So let's go ahead and go on with what he had to say. "Why is it, my people, that you cannot accept my forgiveness? Why is it that you believe condemning lies from the lying mouths of your enemies? How many times must I plead with you to believe? Just believe, and you shall receive. How many times must I die on the cross again to convince you that your sins have been washed away? Many of you are lying in beds of condemnation. From the time you awake and become conscious to the very moment you drop off to sleep, your sins weigh you down. You've asked for forgiveness, but you do not believe that you've received it. Rather, you believe the lies of the evil ones who continually bombard you with falsehood. Take every thought captive, my dearly loved ones. Every thought. Don't let it pass on into your heart or inner places. Do not feed on these deprecating lies. I will tell you how you must act. Consider a little child. He waits until his mother's out of the kitchen and then slides a chair over to the counter, leans way into the counter, and takes the top off the cookie jar, all the time keeping an eye on the door. He knows he isn't supposed to be taking cookies. Somehow he has that much sense. So he waits until she isn't watching before he attempts to raid the cookie jar. Carefully, he sets a handful of cookies in his pocket and puts the lid back on the cookie jar, climbs off the chair and moves it back to the table, and quickly runs outside with the cookies before she catches him. Then, as he eats them one by one, he begins to consider that he just did something wrong. They taste good, but he feels badly. I'm working in the conscience of that child until he is ready to repent. I'll make it easy for him. He left crumbs on the counter, and his mother sees the crumbs and finds a little guy in the corner of the yard, facing the other way, putting something into his mouth. She walks over to him and says, "Child, did you take some cookies?" He wipes the melted chocolate off his little hands and looks up at her with mixed emotions. Guilt from stealing cookies and satisfaction from having finished them. Caught in the act, he has no other response. "I'm sorry, Mama, I'm sorry." Then in that moment of confession, true contrition rises from within him. And tears well up in his little eyes. And he really is sorry. He did what was wrong. He knows it. He repents and asks forgiveness. What kind of God am I, my children? Shall I grab you by the arm and jerk you up and drag you into the house and beat you black and blue? Shall I sit you in time out so you can think about it for a few moments and then discuss it with you? Do you know what you did? Yes, it was wrong, Mama. What do you say? I'm sorry. And little tear drips from his eye. What shall I say at this point? I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Later on, you're playing and you start to feel badly. If you could see a demon is on your shoulder telling you, you're bad, you took those cookies. You lay down for a nap, more demonic voices. You're a nasty little boy, you stole from your mother. Later, when everyone's coming to the dinner table, you should be in time out, you don't deserve to sit at the table. This repeats itself day in and day out. Before long, you feel so badly about yourself, there's no hope left. Why even try to be good? You're doomed. This is how the enemy demoralizes you. Some of you have lived through this kind of childhood where your parents were the voice of demons. They continually beat you down and told you how bad you were. They never let you forget one thing you did wrong. Every time they got upset, they brought up the past and beat you with it. Do you think I am like them? Well, I'm not. When I see the contrition in your heart, I wipe away your sin, and I whisper, let's try again. We'll do better next time. I wait patiently for you to realize what you've done, what the consequences are. Then I embrace you, working with you until you can overcome that temptation. On the other hand, the demons beat you day and night mercilessly. My children, when will you learn the difference between my voice and the lying demons? When will you take me at my word? I forgive you. When will you take my hand and try again rather than running the other way? Don't you know that condemnation begets condemnation? The demons rail on you because they want you to rail on others. They want you to become so discouraged. You will never come forth with your gifts. You will never believe I can use you. You will never believe you are of any consequence in my kingdom or that you're saved and you're going to heaven. But you are. Each and every one of you are equipped with precious gifts. I need an operation to fight against the enemy at this time. Each one of you is endowed with power when you pray, but you will not ever come into the throne room boldly if you feel badly about yourself. You will never venture forth to touch another soul if you feel unclean and guilty. And if you dare to, the enemy will say, look at your sins. You have no business helping them. God doesn't hear your prayers, and God can't use you. Guilt and condemnation are the number one tools used by the enemy to disable a Christian. This is what the demons are taught. If you want to bring a Christian down and make them stop, bring up their sins. And sadly, it works. But forewarned is forearmed. If you know this is the area of attack, you can come before me repentant and go into battle fully equipped and protected. What better way to demoralize a man than to make him feel badly about himself? Do you see? You are victims of psychological warfare if you give in to that lie that your sins are not forgiven. My people, it is time to grow up. You've got to go into battle confident of my love and forgiveness. There's no more time for wishy-washy faith. You've communed with me. You know my nature is love and forgiveness, along with a helping hand. You've been with me, and to be with me, you know me, and you should now have the confidence to act on my word, to fight the good fight, and take every thought captive. That is another reason intimacy with me is so opposed by the devils. they know that if you draw nigh unto me in tenderness and love, you'll be washed clean in my forgiveness. You'll walk away encouraged, strengthened, and ready to love even as I have loved you. But if you never attain to that intimacy with me, you are still prone to think of me as harsh and condemnatory, calling on the experiences from childhood and school when unjust punishments were leveled against you. You were judged guilty and imprisoned mentally when the demons rail on you day after day, and you've not had any authentic and intimate time with me, where I hold you, forgive you, and equip you to try again. You carry over your head a permanent cloud that says guilty. And finally, you must believe in my forgiveness. Believe I suffered and died for you on the cross. Believe that though your sins are blood red, I will wash them white as snow. Did I not forgive David, a murderer and adulterer? Did I not forgive the Pharisees and the Roman soldiers? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So if I have forgiven them, how is it you cannot accept my forgiveness for your sins? Very simply, you are listening to demons who are disabling you through condemnation. It should be clear to you by now, condemnation belongs to demons. Conviction belongs to my spirit. When I convict you, there is a sweet, sweet sense of being sorry for having offended me. And with it comes a real desire not to repeat the act. And I am with you in that moment, encouraging you to call on me for strength in the future. When the enemy condemns you, it is to convince you how bad and worthless you are, that you're doomed and can never be used by God. You are utterly lost and useless. Along with that comes overwhelming shame and a desire to run from me instead of to me. Once you're convinced to run from me, the spiral goes down swiftly into hopelessness. Mark my words. When you feel that, you are feeling what is being put upon you by Satan's servants, not me. So now I've given you a lesson in how to recognize my gentle, convicting thoughts and thus escape the trap Satan has set to bring you down into disgrace and permanently disabled as a Christian. Take it to heart, my dear ones. Take it to heart. And refuse the guilt that belongs to the enemy and his servants. I bless you now with a sweet sense of my never-ending love and compassion for you. Walk in my forgiveness. Though your sins be as scarlet, we have reasoned together, and now they are white as snow.